Tonight's topic, I announced as a vague stomp out the stigma because I am not sure at all what that meant. So I decided to write a vague topic. Tonight, the real topic is Mazel Tov or no such thing. Right? We say Mazel Tov when something good happens, right? So does that mean we believe in Mazel, in luck? Loosely translated, what does that mean, Mazel Tov? Mazel Tov? Or do we believe that we have choice and our choices define our future? We're not just, we're not just going to say that anything that happens to us is draw, they say luck of the draw. So, in Parshas Lech Lecha, source number one, Hashem tells Avraham to go outside. Go outside the tent. Look to the heavens, right? Usfar hakochavim, and count the stars. Im tuchal espor, if you count some, if you count the stars, that will be your children. And Rashi says, what was Hashem telling Avraham at that time? He says, the thing that drosho omer lo, Hashem said to him, say me'etzdan ginus shelcha. Go out of your, astrology. Take this astrology which defined you as someone who can't have children, and don't follow the astrology. Shera isa b'mazalos, that you see in the constellations. She'imcha atzilam le'ha'amid bein. According to the constellations, you're not able to have a child. Avram in the bed. And Avram is not going to have a child. But Avraham, right? Sarai could have a child. Sarah and Avraham could have a child. And we see the similar idea in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The Yirmiyahu says, Ko amar Hashem el derech ha-goyim al tilmadu. Do not learn from the ways of the nations who may also sashamayma and the signs in the heavens, al tichatu, do not be dismayed. Why? Kiach atu agoyim mehima, because the nations are dismayed by them. Meaning, don't follow the constellations and the mazalos. We follow the Torah. And these sources somewhat imply, and we're going to see more about this concept called Ein Mazel Yisrael. There is no Mazel, there is no, we're going to loosely translate this as, I don't want to say luck, but let's say, we'll translate it as Mazel right now, which is not translation. Fortune is a good way of translating it, thank you. So there's no fortune to the Jewish people. We see that in that Rashi, that he told Moshe, Hashem told Avraham to leave from his understanding of the constellations. And we also see that idea in this Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Now, where does the catchphrase, Ein Mazel Yisrael, come from? That the Jewish people, fortune is not to the Jewish people. That sounds a little bit negative, right? It sounds like they have no fortune, misfortunate. It means that we don't see them as, maybe we don't. But our history has been difficult, but we still are here, and that's historically a miracle. And in that way, we have a good history. But where does this catchphrase come from? It actually comes from a Gemara in Shabbos, source number four, Shabbos Daf Kufnun Vav. It talks about it's a long-winded Gemara, but it says Itmar Rabbi Chanina Omer Mazel Mi'Chacham Mazel Mi'Asher V'Yish Mazel Yisrael. He is of the opinion, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, that there are different types of mazalos. There are different types of, influences, you could say, maybe. That constellations make one wise, constellations can make someone rich, and constellations could define the Jewish people and influence them. And the opinion later is that Rav Sovar Ein Mazel Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan says Ein Mazel Yisrael. How do I know that the Jewish people are not determined by the constellations? Right, we just read that Rashi interpreted those words in the Torah that Hashem said, go outside. Go outside what? Go outside. Do not follow the constellations. Right? The Amar Avram Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram said to Hashem, Ribono Sholom, Gabon Besi Yorish Osi. The Gabon, my Gabai, right? He's referring to Eliezer. He says, my Gabai is going to be Yorish me. Eliezer is going to inherit me. And, right, you have not given me any offspring. Right? He says, Amrlo, Hashem said, Lab, Dechi'im Asher Yotza, Lima Echa. It's actually, someone, an heir will come out of you. Amr Levonav, he said, Ribonu Sholom, Nistalakti Be'atzaninus. It's Tagninus. Shelly, I looked into my constellation. We don't really know what this means, but I looked into my astrological signs. I looked at the heavens and the stars and everything. Ve'ini Rolo Holy Bane, and I saw, this Gemara flushes out a little bit more than that Rashi. I saw that I wasn't going to be Zocha to have children. So Hashem says, no. Amr Leit, same as Tagninus Shelchol, go out of your constellations, go out of your. You know, Mazalos, looking at the all these the signs and all these things in the heavens. Look at these words: She'ein Mazal Yisrael. Hashem says to Avram, "Ein Mazal Yisrael." In the Rashi that we quoted, it sounded like there might be Mazalos. There could be this constellations could influence the Jewish people. I'm going to change your name from Avram to Avraham. But this Gemara and Shabbos sounds like it's very general. It's not just for Avraham's particular situation. It's that Jewish people in general are not going to be influenced and their future will not be determined by the constellations. So that seems to be pretty clear cut. There is a debate in the Gemara there. There is that debate, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. but apparently, it seems like the mainstream approach is to take the view of Ein Mazal Yisrael.
And I'm very surprised you don't have the Rambam on this, by the way, because I think he has some very strong words against that kind of thing.
I do not have the Rambam. What are you referring to?
I mean, the Rambam takes a very strong stance against, you know, any perception of, you know, things like luck and magic. For example, when it comes to magic,
he says that's true.
All magic is sleight of hand.
That is true. He does say magic. I'm not sure if you're...
Yeah, even magic forbidden by the Torah is sleight of hand.
What about the one in the Torah?
He says even that is even what the priests of Pharaoh did was sleight of hand. But we're getting off topic, so
I'm not aware of exactly what you're referring to. I do know that the Rambam's general approach seems to be more of a rationalist approach. But and there are a couple places like in Pirush and Mishnayos where he says that magic doesn't do anything. But yeah, that I'm not sure if he comments on Mazel, but it could be in that piece in the Pirush Mishnayos and Avodah Zarah. It could be he does say
maybe
that.
Not Mazel, but like the idea of the constellations influencing. Something.
It could be. I don't know. The Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah has a whole long piece based on Aristotelian philosophy and different things. He talks about the Golgolom and the different constellations and the orbits. I don't know exactly what he believes, but. I'm not sure. I'm not aware of a comment about Mazel specifically. Now there is a particular concept which we're going to flesh out now, which is called Haklal Eino Tachas Mazel, Achayoked Toloibo. And we can see this with our own lives, right? We know there are some people, whatever it is, we can't really explain it. Sometimes they're not necessarily the most equipped. They're not necessarily the most successful. You would think they won't be successful because they're not so bright. And all. Somehow it just happens that they just land the good job, they get the good house, they find the right girl. They just have things work out for them, right? And other people, they just have hard lives. We see this to be true, right? So we're going to see that the Rishonim talk about this idea, that certain people do have certain, I would say, situational things that happen to them that are not explainable. You can't say, well, Ein Mazal Yisrael, because we see that certain people have more, you would say, objectively luckier lives, and some people have more difficult lives. People, you can't choose the type of family you're born into. You can't choose the type of, people live in certain circumstances, and that is the way that we live, right? And we're dealing with the cards that we're dealt. So the principle that we showed him say, which we're going to see in the Rabbeinu Bachai and the Joshua Zaran, that there's a concept of klal eino tachas hamazel, the Jewish people themselves, and we're going to see the land of Israel also, are not determined by constellations, and not determined by luck, or you would say, what was the word you used? Fortune, thank you.
Yeah.
But each person individually could, again, his choices perhaps not, but his general fortune, the things that happen to him or her, those things are determined by mazel. And let's see, let's flesh this out a little bit. So, source number five, it's a pasuk in Parshas Ekev, famous pasuk. I don't want to say famous because it makes, you know, since I know it is famous, but not everybody knows it necessarily. But it's a very classic pasuk. V'amarta bilivavecha bilivavecha kolchi v'otzim yadi asali esachal hazeh. You will say in your heart, this is in the context of the of what's going to happen to the Jewish people when they believe that their own strength is what is going to provide safety for them. And they say, Kochi v'otzim yadi, my own strength and my own fortitude is what is, you know, building the nation. And then Hashem says, you're going to see that that's not the case, and he goes on to explain that really it's only Hashem who allows us to go into the land of Israel, and it was the nations who made the mistake, and they were Rishonim, they messed up, and the Jewish people are only going to survive and be successful if they rely on God. So the Rabbeinu Bachai over there on that pasuk has a long. I don't know if we'll do the whole thing, but he has. That's actually not so bad. It's not so long. He has a piece on this, and he says over here that Kihu anotzin l'cha koach la'asus chayo. Hashem is the one who gives us the strength to wage our wars. Klomar hu masar biyadcha koach amazalos shabar la'asus chayo lemata. You wouldn't have thought that this is what he's saying. We thought, oh, Hashem is the one who gives us our physical strength. Hashem is the one who gives us the ability to have an army. It's not the army which is successful on its own. It's Hashem. But Rebbe Chaya says, no. It's not that. It's that the mazalos. Used to go, okay, go. The mazalos, the forces of the world, so to speak, the constellations, those kochos are given by God to the world, and they kind of work their way down from the Shemayim down to the earth. Fu hashalitcha alehem vein lemazalos mimshala v'shelton alecha. Hashem says that I created these mazalos. I created a world which functions with. Constellations are determining factors, but I tell the Jewish people that I'm not going to allow those forces to take hold over the Jewish people. And it's he quotes our Gemara, again, seems to be the mainstream approach, that Kamosha Amru Chazal, Ein Mazal Yisrael, the Jewish people are not going to be determined by constellations.
But there is that idea.
Right. Hashem created that for the world, but he allows the Jewish people to rise above that and to transcend that.
So we say that non-Jews still have luck.
Yes. There is an idea that each nation of the world, yes, has that. Fine. And he quotes the Gemara that the Chazal we just said earlier in Shabbos that Hashem said Yotza Avram Lechutza, and that means that Avram was told to not focus and feel that he was determined by these kochos of mazalos. Well, if he's that, yeah, inyan haparsha midaber b'chal Yisrael. We have to understand this parsha in Ekev is talking about the Jewish people as a whole. Afal pisha ba lashon bil lashon yachin. Even though the language is singular, ki kein aminag ksuvim. That's the way the Torah is written. The Torah is written in singular sometimes, but it's referring to the Jewish people as a whole. V'chein hatchila parsha bil lashon yachin bil lashon ram. Okay. And he brings proofs for that it's talking about the Jewish people as a whole, and that's what he says. And he stresses this point. He says, Ein mazal Yisrael al haklal amru. It's talking about the Jewish people as a whole, that we are not subject to the general trends and the general, trends is a good word, the trends of the world. We can rise above that. But that's only talking about the Jewish people itself. Avo haprat, each individual will call yachid, the yachid yesh mazal. Every person does have a certain set of, I would say, the predicaments, or the challenges, or on the flip side, the opportunities that a person gets, all those things that we are not in control of, who we, where we live, where we're born, which parents we have, what family situation we have, financially, all these things. Those things, each person has their own deck of cards that's dealt to them. That seems to be the Rabbi Bechai split. He's saying on the one hand, we have to believe the Jewish people are not determined by the normative, you know, trends and luck of the draw that other nations might be more determined by. On the other hand, each person is, you know, given certain tchunos, certain strengths, certain character traits, certain things that they person has a affinity towards. Like the Gemara talks about in Shabbos, a person has an affinity towards blood, so maybe he should become a shochet, or a murderous type of personality. So he has a choice to make. He can either channel his energy, his violent nature, towards good things, or he cannot. So he might have a certain propensity towards one or the other, but the choice is his.
That's interesting.
So those things are determined by mazel, but the question is, what are you going to do with it? And the Abarbanel is a similar idea. The Abarbanel, it's a very long piece, but the last piece he says it cannot be. He says, Hasvara HaToranit, the Torah perspective, cannot be to believe in mazel. How can we believe in mazel? He says, She'im ha'adam mukhrach b'ma'asav, k'vi mazalo. If a person is forced into doing something because his mazel determined it, right? I have a, you know, I'm a person who, I like music, so I can't stop playing music on Shabbos. That's just, it's my personality. It's my predisposition to that. He says that it doesn't make sense, because if it's min hashamayim yochicho, if the heavens, so to speak, are forcing your hand, he says that's going to be, again, like, or people nowadays, like biological evolutionists, they're saying, okay, certain people have a certain propensity towards more altruistic behavior, and some people are more selfish. If that's what we believe, he says the whole Torah, lo hi magum lo l'schar v'lo l'onish. There could be no reward and punishment. If you believe it to the extreme that, yes, everyone might have certain affinities toward different things, but if you believe that removes the ability to choose, then the entire Torah is out the window, because there's no idea, there can be no concept of reward and punishment. Because whatever psychological, biological force is pushing me in that direction is what's pushing me to do a mitzvah, or what's pushing me to do an avera, right? Just like you can't be punished for averos, because it was too hard. It's too hard. I couldn't do it. My makeup, my psychological makeup was such that I couldn't do it. So too, you can't get any schar for mitzvahs, because I'm just a religious personality. I like doing things that are from. I like singing. I like this. Oh, but... So he says, it doesn't make any sense. V'lo ha'yamakum l'torah elokis v'lo mitzvah sal. There could be no place for God's commandments and His Torah. V'lo l'azra rosal acha she'ein dover biyada adam b'chiraso. It's not within man's ability to choose, if it's, in fact, totally determined by mazel alone. He goes on to say, cannot be. Oh. And that's why he says, similar to the Rabbi Bechai, he says, it must be that we have tchunos, we have certain personality traits or, you know, dispositions, but those dispositions do not define our choice. Everyone might have different things. You know, everyone has different intellectual capabilities. You say, oh, well, that guy has an IQ of 150, so he could be frum, but I don't have that, so I can't succeed. You know, only the YP guys, or the top of Rav Shaktushir, only those guys could be frum. That doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't. So, obviously, there's a place for every single person, no matter what their intellectual abilities are, and obviously, there's a place even within a structure of someone who feels more violent, or someone who feels more that he's prone to desires, whatever it is. Every person has to have the ability to make a choice, or else the whole Torah doesn't make any sense. Okay. Very interesting use of the word mazel in Chazal is actually in the context of a totally different discussion. It's a Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara Nedarim says that in context of a woman who gets divorced from her husband, there are certain women that we tell them that they have to be divorced from their husbands, even against the husband's will. So Mishnah in the Darim Daf Tzadi on the base. The Mishnah says, "Be Rishona you omrim shalosh nashim yotzos anotelas ksuba." Even against their husband's will, that they get divorced from their husbands, and they get their ksuba. What case is the first case? Ha'omer is tameya anilach. If she says to the husband, "I'm actually, I'm tame to you, I'm usher to you," what happened to her? Because she was raped. Now, the Ran says, why is that a problem? If we're talking about a Jew, if a Jewish person's wife is raped, she's allowed to stay married to him. So the Ran says it must be we're talking about an Ishus Kohen. An Ishus Kohen, unfortunately, who gets raped cannot stay married to her husband. And the Ran, look at what the Ran's language was. Source number 9, the Ran says, Kuhunaso Garmulo. That the Kedusha of the fact that this person is a Kohen, the holiness this Kohen has, was what caused him to be also to his wife. That his wife is not answered to him. To her own Yisrael, Mishrashoi, because if she was raped and he was a Jew, then she could remain married to him. Hilkuch mazalo goram, his mazal, that he ended up being a Kohen, who happened to have his wife, who was unfortunately, chasim shalom, lo aleinu, but she was raped. Ran says, Mishum hachi, yesh lak subasa. She's allowed to get her ksuba. It's not her fault that she ended up getting married to a Kohen and that happened to her. So she's allowed to claim her ksuba. So I just wanted to point out, mazel doesn't always be, it's not always good. Mazel, it's just what ended up happening. You ended up being a Kohen. Did you decide that? No, right? It's like the old joke. The guy goes, I don't want to repeat it if you guys know. The joke with the Kohen. Yeah, the father. You know it? You don't know it? The guy goes to the rabbi. He's not a frum guy. He just wants to know. One thing I want. Rabbi, I don't want to be religious. I just want to know one thing. He's like, okay, what do you want? He's like, I just want to become a Kohen. The rabbi's like, oh, can't make you a Kohen. What do you want me to do? Listen, you're born a Kohen, you're born a Kohen. If you're not born a Kohen, I'm sorry, you're just a regular Jew. He says, Rabbi, I'll pay you whatever you want. I want to be a Kohen. You heard this before? Okay. So at least one guy never heard this. You heard it before? Okay, good. Or you're just being nice. You're just being nice. Okay, geschmack. So we could all enjoy. Hopefully, I won't mess it up. He's like, I'm saying. He's like, Rabbi, I'll pay you whatever you want. I want to be a Kohen. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm an Orthodox rabbi. It says in the Torah, if you're born a Kohen, you're born a Kohen. He's like, Rabbi, whatever I can do, just make me a Kohen. He's like, I'm sorry, what can I do? He says, the rabbi says, at the end of the day, he's about to walk out of his office. He says, Bob, why do you want to be a Kohen so badly? He's like, Rabbi, my father was a Kohen. My grandfather was a Kohen. I want to be a Kohen.
Such a rabbi joke.
Okay, geschmack. So, some things are mazel, right? And it's a good thing to be a Kohen. It's a good thing. But in this particular case, it wasn't such a good thing. Because he wasn't able to remain married to his wife. So mazel is just the way things work out. The way things work out beyond our own choices, beyond our control, that define our lives. The same Ran, says an interesting thing in Drushas Haran. Drushas Haran are a collection of really the Ran's more philosophical work, and he says some very fascinating stuff there. The Ran in Nedarim was more, he's a Rishon, he's commenting on the Gemara and explaining the Gemara. In Drushas Haran, Drushas Ches, he talks about Mazel, and Mazel Yisrael, and he says it's impossible that Mazel could force someone's choices. And he says the following approach to it. He says, if we believe, his question was, if we believe in reward and punishment, how can we jive that? How can we fit that? How can we believe as well in Mazel causing someone's actions? So he has three different approaches. He says, first of all, he says, it must be sibos hakolios. Like we said before in the Rabbeinu Bechai and the Ran in the Nedarim, they must be. Actually, that was the Barbanel, the Rabbeinu Bechai and the Barbanel. They said it wasn't that each personal person is going to be, influenced. It was a general cloud. Like this country is going to do well. This period of time is going to be a good time. They're more global or universal as opposed to each individual. She'ein rotzon Hashem yisbarach, she'ishtane hateva kifi ish. This is a very important philosophical point that many of the Rishonim say. Hashem created a world, and He's involved with its functions. Obviously, Hashem doesn't create the world and step back. That would be heresy. But at the same time, God's not going to change the entire course of the world for every single person. That's why there's such a thing called nature. Nature, for the Rishonim, for the Ran over here, and for other Rishonim, nature is very important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is only going to change nature when there's a very important thing that He's communicating to us. That's why the Ramban and Parshas Bo makes a whole big deal about Yetzias Mitzrayim and says that the entire Torah's fundamental principles are based on Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Because Hashem changed nature to show that really the default is Hashem can do whatever He wants, and that nature is not taking over. But the Ran says here that Hashem is not going to change nature for each and every person. So there's general trends. There's going to be general trends. Okay, America's it's a superpower of the world for, 200 years right now. Probably less, but a superpower for maybe 100. And there's going to be certain periods of time that other countries are going to be successful. There are certain trends. That doesn't mean that each and every person is defined by those trends. You live there, you're benefiting from the country, but you have your own life, you have your own choices. That's one approach, he says. Number two approach, he says, is that each person has their own tichunos, their own character traits, like we said before, but the choice, again, is yours. And number three, he says that Hashem operates with the... Okay, we said this before, that it's general causes and not particulars. And we have an example of that. There's an idea in Chazal of Mishana Makom, Mishana Mazel, or Mishana Shem. A person changes their mazel, a person changes their name. There is an idea of if a person goes to a different place. It's actually, I saw this, I don't remember where he quoted this, but I saw this in one of these books. It was like, halachos of the Jewish home. And I was like wondering, what is this? So I opened it up. It wasn't just kashrus. One of the things he writes about is moving. He's like, you can't just move. You have to ask a shiloh. I was like, what? So he like sort. I think it was like a shulchan aruch. Like it was some real sources. Because he says, if you're going, things are going well in your job and where you're living and all those things, to pick up and go, it's not so pusher. It's not so simple. You have a good mazel in where you are, you should go with that. Now, this is not superstitious. This is just that there are certain clawless, different general trends that are going on in the world, and you want to be part of that. It's, the team's winning, you get on the bandwagon, right? If a stock is going well, people buy. It's a natural reality of the world is that there are certain trends, and that doesn't mean that we're defined by those things, but being part of a certain makom, a makom has a certain, I wouldn't say it's luck, it's a certain koach, a certain, Hashem is giving a positive, something positive to that place. And on the flip side, if something goes very wrong and things are not working out, to change your place, sometimes a fresh new perspective allows a person to move on and to transcend that occurrence. Shlomo, you look like you wanted to ask a question.
I mean, it shows the decline of promotion if you're happy with life.
Not at all. Not at all. That's a reason to perhaps move. But just to move, just because I want to move.
I mean, you're happy. There's nothing wrong with your life. You're getting a good paycheck. You like where you live.
But
you don't need anything
a promotion.
Else.
You're saying a promotion isn't required to move.
No, it's just a promotion in your job, like a change in salary.
No. What's the problem? I was commenting that we see room to explain the idea of mazalos in the more general, universal realm, as opposed to the prati, the particular, from the fact that Chazal say that different places have different mazalos, different places that. Mishana Mako, Mishana Mazel. If you change places from a certain area, then your mazel might change. So I was just saying, halacha lemaisa, that makes its way into some of the poskim. That they say, not to say you shouldn't take a job, just they say that to move is a choice
physically.
That you should think about. To physically move your house should be a choice that you think about in the realm of halacha, because we know that there are certain mazalos. For example, trying to think. Person, lo alino, person like, there goes through a tragedy, right? So, again, this doesn't mean that someone should hide from their struggles, should face things head on at certain points, but it could be that a person could move, and that could be like a fresh new start for that person. Because whatever it is, maybe it was a home that there was a divorce, and they want to if they're getting remarried, they're not going to live in the same home. There is an idea. It's not superstitious. It's understanding that certain places carry with them certain mazel, certain power. So I was just saying, people think, oh, I move because we want to change things up. Again, it could be it's valid. It could be it's valid. It's a shaila. It's a shaila to move. It's a shaila to stay. I'm just pointing out that that mazel should be a factor. I don't mean that that place had a divorce. I just mean that if a person goes through a divorce, changing where they live is sometimes. I'm not, again, I don't know how this stuff works, but I'm just saying there is an idea that certain places could yield a better type of mazel. I'm not involved in this stuff. I don't know. I'm not like a makubal. But it just this seems to be what the Ran is saying, that there are, again, like I wouldn't go to Syria right now. There's just not good mazel over there. I'm saying no, but it's true. There's things haven't worked out for a long time. Again, there are reasons. I'm just saying, you know, you have to be practical. Rav Aaron Lopiansky quotes a Leshem in this context, and he says that mazalos, even though they have a structure, there are things that the Kadosh Baruch Hu works with mazalos, but Yisrael, for the Jewish people, they can change. Any person can change their mazel, they can change who they are, they can change, you know, where they're set. Not everyone has equal opportunities. Like I said before, intellectual ability, family situation, financial abilities, all those things, not everyone has the same set of mazel. But a person always has the ability to create a new mazel. And this is part of the way that we, you know, you can, let me say it this way. For the Jewish people, their mazel can change. But each individual might not be able to change their actual mazel, but they can change the circumstance in which they are in. So the question is, and again, this is a question that we have to understand, is how does this fit with reward and punishment? Again, we've said answers, but just to give maybe perhaps a mashal. So how does reward and punishment work with mazel? So mazel is part of a larger picture that man will never be privy to. Man will never exactly see the bigger picture of the entire world and how things work, and, oh, Russia's going to go a little down now, and America's going to go up, and those things man will never be privy to. Why I am born to parents X, Y, or Z, why was I born to these, with these particular strengths or weaknesses, all those things. Those things are beyond man's ability to figure out. But, and there are things like we don't even understand, there's a Gemara in Brachos that Chizkio, he didn't want to have any children anymore because he saw that his son, Menashe, he's going to become a big Rasha. And Hashem gave him tochach over that. Hashem gave him rebuke and says, you shouldn't be getting involved in that realm. You have to do what you have to do. You have to follow the Torah as best you can. Hashem says you have more children, you have more children. I, Menashe, became a big Rasha. It's not within your purview. It's not. You have to do the best that you can do within the skill sets and within the particular situation that you're in. More than that, man can never really be privy to and never really be obligated. We have to do what's right. And this is very relevant in general, just in terms of, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was famous for saying that when people would ask him like questions about, well, if we do this, if we allow this, then more Jews could be inspired. And again, I'm not saying there's no place for the Heter Kiruv, but he was famous for saying and reacting to certain cheshbonos in the government and Israeli politics. He says, we can't make cheshbonos. We can't make cheshbonos. We have to follow what the Torah says. What the Torah says, sometimes it doesn't always work out best for everybody. It doesn't always fit into, you know, a nice, you know, clean set of rules, and everyone's happy, and this is the way. We have to do what the Torah says. We have to do what's right. There obviously is room for flexibility. But he was famous for saying, we don't make cheshbonos. We don't make cheshbonos. That doesn't mean we don't make cheshbonos ever. It just means those type of cheshbonos, if we give in this, then maybe they'll say yes and that. We have to do what's right. If we do what's right, then in the end, maybe not in the short term, but in the long term, Hashem will reward us. So we say mazel tov when things happen that are positive, but we shouldn't think that every person is defined by their mazel. They might encounter mazel, and we know that there are certain things that we do encounter, and Klal Yisrael in general is not privy to mazel, but each person in their own life has certain mazel, but that doesn't define who we are. Shkoyach. I wanted to tell you guys that I'm planning to give the shiur on